You are listening to the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast, the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Here's your host, Tyus France.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast. I'm your host, Tyus France. Not sitting across from me, but across the state and on the line is Sam Toll. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Tyus, it's great to be here with you. Yeah, I'm sitting here in the shadow of a mine head in Virginia City, Nevada.
Cool. A mine head? What is a mine head?
Well, that's actually me misspeaking. They're called a head frame, and the head frame is the thing with the big pulley on top attached to a cable that attaches to the lift that lifts the miners down into the shaft so they can go do some hard rock mining and then lifts them and the ore back out. So that was my tongue tripping over my eye teeth or whatever. But yeah, it's a head frame shadow that I'm in.
The more you know. So wait, are you near a mine right now?
So yeah, I'm actually technically in Gold Hill, and across the street from where I am speaking to you is the Crown Point Mill. Back in the 1870s, my family came from the east, came out here, and one of my great-granduncles and my great-grandfather were both superintendents of mines here in Gold Hill. In fact, one of them went to Washington, D.C. and was a silver senator from Nevada for 30 years. I'm living in the shadow of the legacy of the family, the shadow of the legacy of the Comstock Lode, and it's really fun to be back home.
Wow, I'm going to have to come up and visit. I had no idea there were some mines up there that I now really want to see.
Oh yeah, none of them are active, but the buildings still stand. The relics are here. Virginia City is just a spectacular place to visit. Anybody who's up here in the Reno area and has time for a 5 or 6 hour day trip should absolutely make that time, because it's really fascinating, if that's what floats your boat.
Sure, sure.
But yeah,
don't know in advance yet, you guys, anybody listening should also come to Las Vegas. We've got a couple things you can do here that are fun. So
I've heard that. And, you know, I've actually participated in a few. Vegas is fun.
Yeah. We'll take your money. We have the skills. So speaking of Vegas, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. One of those things happens to be Freedom Fest is happening right now. So as we speak, there's a huge convention going on that is, well, it's all about freedom, which is what we close each podcast about. And there's a lot of great speakers down here. Judge Andrew Napolitano, Steve Forbes, Nick Gillespie, Larry Elder, Robert Kiyosaki, Peter Schiff, Gary Johnson. They're all here right now. So I guess if you're hearing this now and you want to become a part of it, you're probably best registering for next year, because it started 2 days ago and we got one more day happening tomorrow. It's been going on at the Paris, which is one of our big hotels here, has a real Eiffel Tower attached. And it's an amazing event where speakers get up there. Now, a lot of these videos that they post are going to be available online. A lot of the talks end up going online. A bunch of exhibitors that are fantastic. Of course, you know, things like Reason Magazine or Silver Bullion or a Cloud Coin. There's a lot of people that are interested in this cryptocurrency or just libertarian philosophy. So anyways, if you're in attendance, fantastic. Congratulations. I'm glad you're in our city. We appreciate you being here, and we appreciate you having similar values as us. And if you aren't, then I really, really suggest checking it out. You can go to freedomfest.com to sign up for next year. And or if you really are ambitious, you can fly to town and get in here the last day. But that's what's going on in Vegas that's super, super, super libertarian right now. But we've got some other things to talk about. And let's talk about Tesla a little bit. Sam, give me the rundown on what Tesla's doing and why it might not be all that great.
So it's really interesting. Before we leave the Freedom Fest thing, I got to tell you, I'm super jealous that I don't live in Vegas, because it would be a lot easier for me to bitty-bop on over that. I've wanted to go for a number of years, and I'm making the commitment right here on the air. I'll be seeing y'all next year for sure, because that's awesome. That's just a great event. So it's really interesting up here. For those of you who don't know, in 2015, the Governor Sandoval had a special legislative session where they enacted SB1, which is a bill that basically provided financial incentives for Tesla to come to here in Story County, which is, you know, Virginia City is the county seat, to set up shop in the world's biggest factory. Elon Musk, who is, you know, a cult leader in many respects, I think, fair to say, was able to convince the state officials, the legislature, and the governor's office of economic development to give him $1.2 billion, with a B, dollars in tax incentives and abatements to bring the Gigafactory to outside of Sparks, Nevada. What's interesting is that so the deal basically was predicated on him building the Gigafactory, on having other partners come in, and they would enjoy very lucrative tax abatements. They were given $43 million worth of land out of the gate. The state of Nevada wrote the industrial park a check for $43 million for their property where they sit. And then the taxpayers, both locally here in Story County, but of course statewide as well, were were on the hook for tax abatements. So Tesla does not pay. Tesla and their partners, Panasonic is the big one, but there are probably a half dozen other smaller companies who work out at the Gigafactory footprint, who are avoiding state sales tax. They're avoiding personal property tax on the equipment that they have, and they're also avoiding the property tax for the actual dirt itself. Now, as a libertarian, I'm like, hey, you know what? That sounds like a great deal. Everyone should be entitled to that deal, and we can talk philosophically about that later. But in the case of Tesla, what is interesting now that we are 3 years into the deal and they are meeting certain milestones of investment. So, you know, they have to build, they have to actually build the factory. They have to fill it up with equipment. They have to hire people locally. And so those are all milestones in the agreement that they signed with the state, so they get these tax benefits. And what we're finding now that we're 3 years into the deal, three and a half, almost four now into the deal, is that Tesla has, you know, been struggling to meet these milestones. They have hired, I think they've hired outside of the construction people. They got a ton of construction crews working out there. But as far as full-time jobs, they've got, according to the last report that was filed, we've got about 740 people working out there. excuse me. They, you know, most of those jobs are $20 an hour jobs, which maybe 22, which, you know, aren't enough to afford the average price of a house in Reno. But the implications of the deal are starting now to hit home. So, for example, last year in Story County, we reported an astonishing record $1.6 billion in taxable sales, but the amount of money that we got was like 0.5% of those sales because of all the abatements. So here in Story County, because we have to do a lot of support, you know, there's a lot of building inspectors and there's a lot of road engineers and there's a lot of electrical engineers and a lot of stuff that we have to do for Tesla, we're actually losing money. But on a state level, there's an interesting little mechanism that is in the legislation that says that once they hit these certain milestones, Tesla is granted tax credits. So far, they've earned about $130 million in tax credits, and they've turned these tax credits around and they've sold them to casinos like the MGM. Who need these tax credits to help them, to help them not pay as much taxes. So, one of the interesting things that has fallen out of this is that Nevada's overall tax surplus, the amount of money that we've collected, there's a modest little surplus that the folks in the in Ron Connect's controller's office were able to accumulate. And Tesla surprised everyone a couple of weeks ago when they sold about, I think it was, can't remember if it was $130 million or if it was $62 million. But anyway, they sold some of these tax credits and basically wiped out all of the surplus tax money that Ron Connect's office had been able to scrape together. So, you know, the deal itself has been great for Tesla, and it's really, frankly, it sucked for Nevada taxpayers. I'll close on Tesla with saying that the amount of money that we've given them, if you add it up and you divide it by the number of workers that are out there, who, again, are making $20-$22 an hour, Nevada taxpayers have paid $288,000 per job generated.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's nice work if you can get it.
I mean, one of the hidden things about taxes that I think a lot of people don't realize, obviously, from the libertarian standpoint, we look at it and go, you know, taxation is theft. That's really easy. That's the easy end of it. The thing that's not necessarily easy to identify is that taxes are a tool that is used by I shouldn't say the rich, because it's not a rich thing. It's a corrupt thing. It's a thing where you can utilize it for power. A lot of people will sit there and they'll demonize the rich. They'll say, you know, the rich are the problem. The rich really aren't the problem. Usually, I would say most of the rich people in the world have either inherited it or have gained it by providing tremendous value to other people. The real problem area is that they use government control, government incentive, they use government lobbying to give them benefits that other people don't have. And that's where it gets really, really corrupt. So every time you're interested and you see it, you see something where it goes, you know what, we're going to put our tax money into helping the environment or increasing, bettering schools or any of those things. When you see those numbers, understand that behind it is an opportunity for somebody who has enough government control to change how those funds are moving around and how they can be allocated. We've seen down here in Clark County School District that they'll put in a bill to, you know, we're going to raise taxes so that we can take care of the kids, and it gets passed, and then they reallocate those funds somewhere else. They move the target after they get the control. So I love what Elon Musk's doing. Like, yes, a bit of a cult leader, a little bit of a Bond villain. I see all of that. But I also think he's an incredible innovator, an incredible mind, somebody who's going after huge, huge problems that are monumental in scope. Where it becomes an issue is he's essentially taking money from everyone. And if we're just looking at, let's say, the cars alone, if we're just looking at the cars, those cars are not being sold to the poor. Those are very expensive vehicles. Ultimately, what we are doing is, as a whole, we are subsidizing vehicles for the rich, which is insane. We are making that easier for them to get their hands on. Space travel is not a cheap endeavor. But as they get into space tourism, if we are all funding space travel together through taxation, it is essentially the poor, middle class, and to an extent the rich that are going to be paying to subsidize only the people that can afford it, which are going to be the super rich, to get into space. So each time we see these little tiny incidences take place, it's just magnified. And another good example of it is going to be the Raiders stadium that's jumping in here. And Sam, I'm going to pass it back to you. Give us the details on the Raiders.
You know, before we go to Raider Stadium, which is down there in fully engulfing the construction area, I just want to chime in on what you just said, because it is so important to understand that. The point that you made, that the people who make money, people who are wealthy, either inherited it or they provided as tremendous value to the, you know, to their clients, to their the whoever they were transacting with, is dead on. And you know, in the case of Tesla, you know, those cars would not exist if it weren't for the government picking Elon as a winner over someone else as a loser, or over no one, and you know, not having the kumbaya feeling of electric vehicles. Your point about, you know, the poor and the middle class subsidizing the wealthy is dead on in the case of Tesla, because, you know, the Model 3, which is, I would suspect, which I would argue may just bring Tesla down, was touted as being, you know, this $35,000 sedan that the average Joe could afford. Well, the facts, now that we are here and the Model 3 is being delivered, Elon is on the record saying, hey, I can't produce a $35,000 vehicle or else Tesla would die. And frankly, that is exactly what would happen to Tesla in the free market, is that they simply would not have been able, would not be able to be at this point, and wouldn't live tomorrow if it wasn't for taxpayers subsidizing them today. And the only people that can afford Tesla vehicles are the super wealthy, or, you know, the better off. And so I think that that point is dead on. And then the other one I want to leave you with is that people here in Story County roll our eyes and are used to it, but the fella who is the executive of the industrial park, who is credited with luring Tesla to town, is also a Story County commissioner. And so he sat on both sides of the negotiating table, giving away Story County and Nevada taxpayer dollars to Tesla, making the commission on the sale, and then having Tesla as the keystone tenant to attract other people. And so they've sold out all their land. They've made just vast amounts of money. And the Story County and Nevada taxpayers are the folks, you know, chumps who are on the hook. And so, again, back to your point, it's the cronyism and the collusion between the corporatists, not the capitalists, the corporatists and the government to pick them as favorites and to swindle the taxpayer. That's just, you know, disgusting and needs to stop. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now. Let's move down to the Raiders.
It's a valid soapbox.
So I don't have the details as close to the tip of my tongue, but a similar legislative deal was passed for the Raiders when it was decided that folks would get together down there, pony up some cash, take some of the room tax that lots and lots of people pay when they come to Vegas, and channel or siphon some of that money off to build a $1.8 billion stadium for the Suns Raiders to come and play in. And I believe it's at some point after the deal was struck, one of the big players down there, Adelson, had backed out of the deal. And so they had to pass another addendum to the tax bill, adding an increase, you know, another 0.88% of the room tax revenue to be allocated for the stadium. And what was really interesting, and again, this goes back to talking about how the collusion between government and these corporatists, works to the benefit of the few at the expense of the many, is that the deal was brokered, much like the deal up here with Tesla, by the governor's office of economic development. And GOED, as we call them, was headed by a guy named Steve Hill, who I think Brett was with GOED for 10 or 12 years as their director. They signed a great deal with the Raiders. They established this Las Vegas Stadium Authority, and Steve Hill retires from the GOED, from the Governor's Office of Economic Development, and gets a job as director at the Las Vegas Stadium Authority. So, you know, we've got someone who set up a $1.8 billion slush fund. And in fairness, I think only about $750 or $800 million is going to be taxpayer money, and the rest of it will be from other lending sources. But I don't think that any of it comes from the actual Raiders, who are going to benefit from this, you know, $2 billion stadium that their millionaire, pugilists get to play on the field for, while, you know, average everyday chumps pay or can't actually afford to pay the ticket price or the stadium seat licenses because, of course, again, only the wealthy can afford them. So the news from the Raiders stadium, they're in full swing now with cranes and stuff. I'm guessing you may have seen it down there, Caius, as you travel around Vegas. But they approved in July 1st, their 2018-2019 budget kicked in, and it is for about $520 million. To do this year's worth of construction out there. So, you've got the cronyism, you've got the interaction between the government and the officials and the financing, and then you've got, guys hopping ship from one job to another to make money. And then, all of us get to watch it on TV because none of us can actually afford to go see a game once they start playing in a couple of years.
Yeah, this is just another case of somebody saying, well, the ends are going to justify the means. And whenever you hear that, it's usually a bad idea. Because here's the thing. Yes, taxpayers are going to be paying about $750 million, which in my head is just such a large number, I can't even really get my head around it. I think of $750,000, I can't get my head around that. So, you put three zeros behind that, and it's just enormous to me. But essentially, what they're saying is, you know what, this is going to help drive Vegas' economy. It's going to help build Vegas' economy, and therefore it's going to be great, so the ends are going to justify the means. But if you really if you narrow in on that, and you try and actually look at what they're talking about here, what they're essentially doing is they're taking money from people, whether those are people that are locals or whether those are people that are visiting Vegas, being at a room tax. They think, well, you know, Vegas locals aren't really going to have to be paying for it because it's going to be people that come into Vegas that are going to use it. Well, you're going to see less people come into Vegas when the room rates go up significantly. So it doesn't really help Vegas in that regard. On top of that, if this is such a great economic idea, then why isn't this all done privately? If this is such a great move, then there shouldn't be a need for the people to pay for it because the people are not going to be compensated for it. If I end up paying so much money in tax dollars and they make a profit, they're not going to give me additional tax dollars back for it. That if it's a great idea, it could be done privatized. If it's a fantastic idea, then banks are involved and donors are involved, but they shouldn't need money from the public, forcibly taken from the public to pay into somebody who is something that's privately owned essentially, and the people that are really going to profit from these ticket sales is the NFL, is the team management, which, by the way, the team management's doing very well. So this is, again, a subsidy, essentially, for the rich. We're taking money from everybody else to give profit to the richest people, whether that be the casinos that might get more sports booking, they might get more people coming to Vegas, but you're ultimately subsidizing them. If they're the ones that are going to profit and they see that as a benefit, they should be the ones paying in. If they want to donate to the charity, or not to the charity, to the stadium, if they want to give their money to the stadium because they know they're going to see higher returns, then it's great. That's competition. It's a great idea. Go for it. I'm all about it if it's voluntary. When it becomes compulsory, when we're forced to pay for it, something is wrong in that. So whenever you see the ends justifying the means, usually there are no ends. There's just means. So That's the baseline of the philosophy on it, and now I'll get off my soapbox and stop complaining about it, but I'm not a big football guy. I don't think that's going to change, but you know what? I was completely wrong about hockey, so who knows? You might be wrong about this, too.
Well, I got to tell you, you're dead on, and you will listen to sports fans say, but oh my gosh, the teams can't afford to do this, and this is something that binds the community together, and you listen to all of these different arguments, but the facts are what you just said are dead on. And now, I'd like to share with you a little personal example of my experience that, you know, that it is in fact possible to do it on your own. I used to be a huge sports fan, and I was lived and died by the San Francisco Giants. I live in Sacramento. I had season tickets for the Giants for 20 some years, and was just heartbroken when the Giants were going to move to Florida and, you know, whatever in the early 90s. And the people of the team tried over and over again to foist this hustle of taking taxpayer dollars and using it to build a stadium, and failed miserably, in part because the people in San Francisco, I don't think they could agree that oxygen is a good thing to have in the atmosphere. they're a pretty interesting group of folks. But what ended up happening was that the team who owned the Giants, they came in, they bought them from the guy who owned them for 20 years, and they basically recognized that they would not be able to push through a tax measure, and so guess what they did? They did it themselves. They, as you just described, they went to private financing, they bought the land, they built the stadium, they did it out of their own pocket, and oh, and by the way, then they suddenly won a bunch of World Series, and the value of their team went up remarkably. The amount of revenues that they generated was astonishing, and guess what? They did it all without having to, you know, fleece the chumps, the taxpayers. And so, yeah, no, it can be done. And the fact that, or that, you know, you listen to them use the excuse of, oh, well, we can't afford it, and, you know, this is something that the community needs to bind them together. It's just a load of horseshit.
Yep, absolutely. I completely agree. Well, that is enough for this week. Until next week, where we'll chime back in. We've got a lot of people that we're going to be interviewing. We've got a lot of people running for office, which is super, super exciting. And with that being said, if you want to get involved with the Libertarian Party, please head over to lpnevada.org. There's a lot of people that are getting involved with the Libertarian Party. For example, Tom Woods, who is an epic podcaster. Another great podcaster is a guy named Dave Smith. Both of these guys have preached libertarian philosophy, but you know what? They've avoided the Libertarian Party. They've done it for a myriad of reasons. Recently, they've both chosen to join the Libertarian Party, saying, you know what? If we really want to enact change, we've got to get involved. We've got to do something about it. We can't just talk about the philosophy and then complain when things don't go our way, when we're not taking action. So if you want to take action, go to lpnevada.org, where you can find out how you can get involved, either with your time, if you've got some extra change hanging out in your pockets that you want to send our direction, we could definitely use it. Or if another way you could do it is you could find some people running for office that you support their vision, and you can absolutely help with their campaign, donating either your money or your time. Any way you could support, we would really appreciate it. But until next time, make it all about freedom.
This show is brought to you by the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Music is provided by T. Sims. Please support the show by subscribing, sharing it with friends, and leaving a positive review on iTunes. For more information or to learn how to get involved, visit lpnevada.org. Thank you for listening.